The 2016 season will start the same way last year ended. Broncos and Panthers, but this is not a rematch.
No extra motivation will be needed on Thursday night, man. Both teams will be amped up.
The NFC champions, though, will come to town with a chip on their shoulder.
You could have a Dorito on your shoulder for all we care. You know, you still got to come in. You got to beat us.
The defense will try to slow down last season's MVP, while the offense will unveil their new starting quarterback.
It's going to be a great challenge for us. I think we know how good Carolina is.
It's the NFL kickoff, and there's still plenty of questions to be answered.
Is it an advantage when you put in a new video game and you ain't never played that level? You might die a couple times, so.
Three and Out starts right now.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for another season of Three and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. There's plenty to talk about as the NFL gets set to kick off on Thursday, so let's get this thing started. Time for First Down, and now we're joined by Matt Boyer. And Matt, one thing that head coach Gary Kubiak has emphasized to the media and to the team is that this Thursday's game, not a Super Bowl rematch.
Right, and he's got good reason to do that, because you think about how the teams looked at the Super Bowl and how they look now, very different teams. Obviously, the Broncos are without Peyton Manning. Trevor Siemian will be back there as the starting quarterback for the Broncos. But on the other side of the ball, the Panthers' defense is going to look a lot different. You start two rookies at corner. It's going to look remarkably different even in the tight end group for the Broncos. Think about Owen Daniels was huge in that Super Bowl matchup. He's not going to be there. Virgil Green, I think, will fill in admirably. But I do think that to say this is a Super Bowl rematch, just not true.
Not really the case. That game back in February, a little bit more important than this regular season. But this one, there's still a lot on the line.
Our motivation is winning the opener. That's the only motivation we have. It's a new team, new year. All focus on 2016 Broncos, and the Panthers just happen to be who we play first.
That was just opening day, man. You always amped up, get back on the field, and sure, we're ready to go. We feel everybody's ready, everybody's healthy, and sure, game can't come soon enough.
Time for Second Down, and now we're joined by Andrew Mason. And Mace, the big question everybody wants to know, is Trevor Siemian ready for when the big lights come on Thursday?
Well, he's as ready as he can be. When you're talking about someone going into his first career start, you can't ever be 100% certain that he's completely ready. But certainly with his familiarity with the offense that he got, with his experience last year on the scout team, and then you know, obviously, he had that one snap against Pittsburgh, a kneel down. But, you know, going through two training camps, getting a lot of work with Greg Knapp, a lot of work on his footwork in particular over the last couple of years. And then throughout the offseason, leading the first team offense, you know, when he was splitting snaps with Mark Sanchez. You know, he's certainly made himself ready in terms of, you know, knowing the offense, having familiarity with his teammates. Now it's putting it together in live action. And the thing I think everyone needs to take mind of is, this isn't going to be a straight line incline for Trevor Siemian. He may have a great first start. He may struggle in his second start. There's going to be ups and downs. You know, if he plays well on Thursday, I think it would be obviously tremendous for the Broncos. But then it would be interesting to see how he did the next time out and what happens when opponents adjust to him. So this is something that's it's going to be a process. There's going to be peaks and valleys to it, but he's as ready as a young quarterback can be, I think.
Well, I know that his teammates really like him, and mostly that's about his calm demeanor. When he was asked about it the other day, though, he said, hey, I still have a pulse.
I think you can't be trigger-shy playing quarterback, and you know, especially with our group and the players we have. So I have a good opportunity to get those guys the ball, whether it's DT, Emmanuel, you know, whoever it is. So I feel good about everything. Really have a lot of confidence in the guys I'm working with, so really excited for Thursday to come around.
Time for the very important Third Down, and joined by Ben Swanson. You might know him from such things as the Broncos podcast, coming back pretty soon here. Ben, one thing that the Broncos defense did in that Super Bowl was shut down Cam Newton, last year's MVP. Not that easy to do two times in a row.
No, I'm not sure you can fully shut him down. I mean, they did a great job of making him turn the ball over and make some errant throws, but they didn't completely shut him down. He still escaped the pocket. He ran for about 50 yards. He completed some long passes. So you can't really completely shut him down. But what they did do is that they didn't blitz him the whole time. They blitzed about half the plays. And what you have to do is mitigate what the things that he does well. And they've got the pressure on him that they needed to do to make those bad passes. And this time around, they're going to have to do the same thing. But that's not necessarily going to be on the blitz. He actually does very well against the blitz. He identifies where the gaps are that where he can complete those passes, and he does it better than when he's not being blitzed. It's just a matter of getting the pressure on those non-blitz pressures and making him throw the ball in where he doesn't want to throw it.
And one thing that Cam didn't have in that Super Bowl was one of his top wideouts, Kelvin Benjamin. He'll be on the field with Devin Funchess for the first time. Kind of a dangerous duo there. But the Broncos defense says they're up to the challenge.
We love the challenge, man. Just going against that great offense, man. We know, we don't forget what they did last year, man. Bunch of points, man, bunch of yards, man. I rushed their opponent by 1,000 yards and things like that. So we know what they're capable of, man. That's why we play the game, man. We love the competition.
If we all play assignment football, you know, the guys that are supposed to be for the quarterback, if they, you know, stay their ground, and the guys supposed to play the dive or the running back or the pitch, you know, if everybody plays their job and plays their assignment, that's how we contain them.
It's time for fourth down, and we'll answer your questions. Also introduce our intern extraordinaires, Caroline Deasley and Eric Dalala. But first, a quick message from American Financing.
Nothing's better than being at home. It's where your best moments happen. So make the right call to American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. Their mortgage consultants are salary-based, so they're only focused on taking care of you. You can get pre-qualified in 10 minutes, and you can close in as fast as 10 days. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
Welcome back. It's time for fourth down. We got a lot of great social media questions this week, so Eric, take it away.
Absolutely. Mario's our first question. He wants to know if there's any concern that we don't have an experienced quarterback on the roster. Matt, this one's for you.
I think normally there would be some cause for concern if you didn't have an experienced starting quarterback on your roster. However, I think that Trevor Siemian in the preseason has shown that while he doesn't have the necessary reps at quarterback, just being in that room last year on a Super Bowl winning team with Peyton Manning, with quarterbacks coach Greg Knapp, I think that he's gotten the necessary mental reps that he's going to need coming into this season. I also think that Paxton Lynch showed that he will be more than a capable backup for Siemian in case he is called upon. I think Paxton showed a lot of progress all the way through the preseason. So while for a lot of teams, I think experience at quarterback would be important, for this one right now, I think because of the people that you've got back there in that quarterback backfield, I think they're going to be just fine.
Thanks, Matt. Good take as always. Up next, we have a question from GL. Caroline?
Why can't we wear the white jerseys on Thursday? Mace, this sounds like a good one for you.
Well, theoretically, you could wear the white jerseys. The Broncos have that choice. They have not worn white at home since 2003, and that day against San Diego, they were forced to by the league because they took the wrong uniforms to San Diego for a Week 2 game that year, and then the league said, okay, you brought the wrong uniforms for Week 2. We're going to let San Diego choose its jerseys when you go to Denver in November, and that's how San Diego wore navy blue that day and the Broncos white. The Broncos haven't chosen to wear white for a home game in Denver in the regular season since 1983, and, you know, the thing with the white choice in the Super Bowl, you know, some of it was about the Broncos being winless and orange and in the Super Bowl and everything around that, but also don't forget the Carolina Panthers are winless in black uniforms in the postseason, which of course continued through Super Bowl 50. Those considerations are out the window in the regular season, and orange is the identity. Orange is what the Broncos have worn over the years at home, and certainly, you know, they've done very well in the orange uniforms at home. You know, mind games, I think that matters less than you would believe. And it's funny we're having all this talk about uniforms and jersey colors, but the bottom line is players and coaches win and lose games, not the colors of the jersey. I don't think that if Carolina was in black and Denver was in white, it would make a difference. And besides, Denver could choose to wear white, and then Carolina could say, you know what, we're going to wear our blue alternates. They do that sometimes on the road as well. So I don't think the mind games would have come into play, because I think if the Broncos had chosen to wear white, Carolina would have worn blue, and that would have been that, and there wouldn't have been a visual flashback, and you move on.
Mace, I knew you'd have a good answer for that one. Finally, it's time for the last question. This one comes from number one fan, Daniel Gonzalez.
This one's for you, Swanee. Which team in our division is the biggest threat? Give us some insider knowledge.
Wow, what a great question. Oh, my God. Number one fan, Daniel Gonzalez, thank you. The division, obviously, is going to be much better than it was last year. Everyone's made strides. The Chargers are healthier. They got Joey Bosa signed to a deal, though I think it'll be a while before he gets up to speed. But you kind of look at your biggest competition going to be the Raiders and the Chiefs. Chiefs obviously reeled off like 11 straight wins last season before falling in the playoffs. And then the Raiders have, they made some good free agent signings. Derek Carr is back for his third season. Khalil Mack, we know what he can do. So they're expected to make some strides and do a little bit better than they did last year, which is a little bit middling, but you saw the promise. You saw what they could possibly do if they could put together a full great season. They could add some competition there with the Chiefs, who will be missing Justin Houston for about 6 weeks, if not longer. So there's a lot of, it's going to be a heated race there and probably going to go down to the wire just like it did last year.
Swanson, thank you. Informative as always.
And thank you guys for all the great questions. We'll be back here next week, so keep the questions coming. Phil, back to you.
That's going to do it for this week's show. I'm Phil Milani. Special thanks to Matt Boyer, Andrew Mason, Ben Swanson, Caroline Deasley, and Eric Dalala, also Austin Brink behind the camera. And that's been this week's 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.